Hey guys, this is Ishai Breslauer and welcome to the CRE Shark Eye Show, where we discuss commercial real estate. On Mondays, we dive deep into an asset class, and on Thursdays, we go into some inspirational stories for the weekend. Can't wait to start. Let's go. Hey guys, before we continue, I would like to introduce you to the 7-Day CRE Challenge, which will introduce you to commercial real estate and will show you that anyone can do this. Also, I have the free cheat sheet for commercial real estate with the 6 best secrets for commercial real estate. You can download it free. Just click below or above, wherever it is, and get it. Let's continue. Hi guys, this is Ishai Breslauer, your host of the CRE Shark Eye Show. I hope you guys are doing fantastic today. We have a great guest, Aaron Arano. He is the founder and president of Elion Systems. And if you want to talk technology in real estate or how it's implemented in real estate, this is what we're going to talk about today. And first of all, I thank you for being on the show, Aaron. Thank you so much for being here.
Of course. So thanks for having me.
100%. The first thing I want to ask you, you know what? I ask that any entrepreneur who starts, before we dig into what you do when you come, you know what? Let's start with that. Just give me like the 2-minute, what we call pitch before we dig in, and then we'll start going into your story and then go further from there. But what is Elion Systems? What do you guys do in 2 minutes, like a short pitch?
We provide audio, video, and smart technologies for businesses, for commercial buildings, hotels, restaurants, retail, houses of worship, event spaces, community spaces, you name it.
I got it. All that basically implement the technologies. We'll talk about this.
Correct.
You started this business how long ago, and what got you to go and say, okay, I'm going to start a business. I'm going to be an entrepreneur. That's going to be my thing. How did that go? When did that go?
You know, everybody has a story of how they started, when they woke up one day and decided they're going to be an entrepreneur. It didn't quite happen for me. I never saw myself as an entrepreneur. We started 12 years ago. Actually, Log Bomer was 12 years to the day. And I've been working in this industry for 3 years prior, you know, as a regular technician. I've upgraded to a programmer, engineer, you know, saw jobs from beginning to end, but I never saw myself as a business owner. Then around towards the end of my career with the other company, some opportunities came up. And just by the way I've operated as an employee at the company, I've been, you know, mistaken as a partner at the company. And people have encouraged me, clients have encouraged me to, you know, why aren't you just doing this for yourself? You operate as a partner, you operate as if you own the project and you own the success of the project. You should really be doing it for yourself. You know, it was nice to hear. It was a great compliment, but you know, it doesn't mean that I can actually get out there and, yeah, I know how to do the work, but it doesn't mean I know how to sell it. You know, being a salesperson is a whole different skill. You know, in my mind, I saw a salesperson as a used car salesman. That's not me. But the straw that, you know, that broke the camel's back in that sense was somebody called me up. He had a question about technology, somebody that I knew, a family member. And I explained to him that I went through beginning to end. I educated him from beginning to end exactly on the topic that he needed to know. And he's like, you know, Aaron, you're a good salesperson. I said, what are you talking about? He says, no. That's the kind of salesperson your industry is looking for. Not to sell and push product. You educate the customer exactly on what they need to know and how to make a decision. And with an educated approach, they'll say, okay, this is what I need. Let's go for it. They're not looking to be pushed with product. And that, you know, a light bulb went off in my head. And I'm, you know, from one side hearing people saying, you know, it's time for you to do this on your own. On the other side, I'm hearing, oh, wait, you can be a salesperson. And then at the same time, another opportunity came up where somebody was looking to sell their business. So just all these things came together. And I said, you know what? Let's give it a shot. I'm young. I mean, I had a family by then, but we were small enough of a family that, you know, if I was going to take a risk, now's the time. And I took the risk. I made the plunge. Things didn't turn out exactly as I expected because the company that I was supposed to buy didn't end up actually being the company that I was hoping they'd be. So I never ended up buying them. But I, at that point, I had already given my notice that I'm leaving. And then within those 2 weeks, I had landed two jobs and started, you know, right out of the gate. I hit the ground running with those two projects. I was doing everything on my own. I had my own little van with a couple little tools, and it grew from there. You know, within a month, I had hired people already. And, you know, I can go through the rest of it. I have 12 years of history. So,
beautiful.
But now, you know, yeah.
Where are you guys based, by the way?
We're based in Crown Heights in Brooklyn. But we service all five boroughs, New York State, New Jersey, Connecticut, Pennsylvania, wow. Anywhere within a 2-hour drive, if the project makes sense. And we recently opened a branch in Florida, something we wanted to do for the last 3 years, but COVID made us do it now.
Yeah, it's a necessity. Everybody has to go to Florida. And today it's a big thing. Sorry, it's a big, big thing. Here's what I want to ask you.
Sure.
So beautiful. It's a beautiful story. I love that story. But when we get into the details, we want to understand really how does it work? I own a building. So let's start with what you want to tell us. Okay. So meaning you have asset classes from multifamily, hotels, retail, office buildings, healthcare, and you have development, and you have existing, and you have income producing. What in order to explain what you guys do and how you guys help this real estate industry, where do you want to start? In which asset class, what point, in order to explain to us what you guys do and how you help this business before we dig in and dive into the technology?
So the most common asset class that we work with is developers that are building commercial buildings as well as multifamily high-rise residential. And the most common space that we operate in is the amenity spaces. You know, the last few years, that's been blowing up. You want to attract as many high-paying tenants as possible while giving them as little real estate as possible. The only way to really pull that off is to give a lot of amenities, right? So we're talking about gyms, pools, rooftop decks, lobbies, business lounges. So that's been very common over the last few years. In fact, now we're seeing the transition where a lot of Class C buildings are upgrading now to Class A here in New York City, especially. You know, they use the downtime to now shift and say, you know, we got to attract people because, you know, Hudson Yards, for example, is attracting all the new companies. We're losing business because of that. So people are investing a lot of money into amenity spaces. And what we do for amenity spaces is obviously the audio in all these spaces, the video, whether it's you know, presentation systems in the business area, or just entertainment centers like a screening room, like a mini movie theater, golf simulators. And then we bring it all together as well by making it all easy to control. Whether they allow for the residents or the businesses, the companies to go in there and operate the system on their own, or whether it's operated by management and controlled entirely by management. The trick is to make it an easy user experience. So you can get in there, you don't have to really understand how the technology works, but it's just easy to function, easy to use. It's all intuitive on a touch panel or an app. You can scroll through it and know exactly how to control the system. And it operates at a high level. So the sound is perfect. The video is perfect. And the user experience ends up being, you know, it's so simple. It's in the background. You don't realize how sophisticated it really is.
Okay, so that's a great answer. How early in the game do you guys have to come in? Meaning, I'm going to try to elaborate it for the listeners. What am I talking about exactly? In every development, and you spoke about developments, right? Every developer, when it comes to the picture, he sees the price, sees the land, whatever he sees, and he says, "Okay, I'm going to start. I'm going to get in. I'm going to build it." Finally, he goes into the acquisitions after all the checks and all the due diligence and everything, all the craziness that he's going to has to go through. And you acquire the land, you go into it. And at that point, you involve several professionals, okay? You have obviously the legals who is with you all the way from acquisitions, et cetera. You have the zoning, you have everything going on. And then you have the architect. And you probably, and the architect basically making a plan for everything. And when it comes to making already and more of an advanced plan, you have the electricians basically, right? The electrical engineering that is coming in where the wires are going to go through. And that's how all the teams are working together. My question to you is, I know where all the teams come together. As soon as they come together, the better. The sooner, the better.
Correct.
When are you coming in? How soon? How late? When is your company coming in and say, okay, we need to do that. And in order to do that, you need to manipulate everything. Or is it smart to hire you guys, let's say, for example, early in the game or later?
So the short and quick answer is as soon as possible. Right. But, you know, everybody likes to say that. But here's why. And here's it's important for developers to understand this. Unfortunately, due to the nature of our business, our industry is tend to be, you know, I like to call it, we're the foster child of development. Nobody knows who really owns our scope, right? Sometimes we come in under the electrician. Sometimes we come in under the general contractor. Sometimes we come in owner direct. It's all over the place. There's no rule to it. And that kind of makes it more complicated as well. For us as a provider, sometimes it's easier for us to come in with the electrical contractor. Because, you know, they bring us on early in the game because they need to start working on their scope as soon as possible. So we're in there as well. And, you know, we're talking about this project as early on as possible. When we're communicating, if it's the end user that's purchasing our scope, our contract, we're usually at the end of the game because they have too much to deal with. They don't want to talk about this in the beginning, right? But the upside of that is that now we get to make a relationship with the end user who's ultimately going to be using the system and is going to need us, a relationship with us long term. It's just the nature of technology that you don't just install it once and, you know, you never see the company again. There's, you know, there's service that has to happen, upgrades that happen over time, right? So the sooner we can get, create a rapport with the end user, the better. So there's a positive and a negative in both. But here's the reason why there are two main reasons why it's important to bring us in the beginning. Product placement, where things go. For example, if, let's say we're doing a video wall, right? Video wall requires structural engineering, right?
Right.
If it's an afterthought and the structure has been created, now to go in there and to start adding, strengthening the structure for a video wall, it's complicated. There's change orders, you know, not always can you do it, and then right. You just get to scrap.
You got to put some steel, put some concrete, whatever you have to put in, and that's messing up the
correct.
Thing. Yeah.
Correct. Or if, let's say, we're talking about in-ceiling speakers or a retractable projector that comes out of the ceiling, you need clearance in the ceiling for this stuff. But if there's a big, you know, air duct running right through it, you can't do it. So either now you have to drop the ceiling or now you have to pay the HVAC company to start moving air ducts. It becomes a headache. So putting it in as an afterthought is a problem in that sense. The second reason why putting it in as an afterthought is not a good idea is because when the technology is left for the end of the project, what tends to happen, unfortunately, in construction is that by the time the end of the project happens, there's less money available. And so budget cuts start happening. So here you've envisioned this major project you're going to be doing, you know, top of the line, you're going to be attracting all these clients, you're going to be doing all this cool stuff, right? But you miss your mark because today's day and age, the technology is what makes the space. You know, you use this kind of paint versus that kind of paint. A nice chandelier is beautiful, but you're you know, just like Wi-Fi shouldn't be an afterthought. You got to have really good Wi-Fi today. It's not optional, right? Your sound needs to be good. You walk into a lobby, if there's no sound in there, it sounds dead. We're not living in the 1950s. You walk into an airport. You walk into a museum. You walk into a building lobby, you walk into a retail store, you need background music. It's just part of it, right? And it has to sound good. If it's bad sounding, it's worse than not having anything.
Right.
So when you start making cuts in that sense, because you're at the end of the project, but really that's the cherry on top. That's what buttons up the project to really, you know, bring it to, you know, you to make that user experience. You know, you don't want to be left at the end without a budget.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's because people, when they hear music and they hear audio and they hear all that stuff, they connected it to the final, you know, internal designs and the beautiful fluffy stuff, which is really coming only in the end. Okay, how are we going to make this room pretty? How are we going to make the finishes nice? All these things that are coming on top of all the other stuff, and they make a mistake when it comes to, you know, the technology and the audio and the video and all those things that going in the walls, just like you want the outlet to be at a certain place in the room and not in another place in the room, or you want to have four of them and not three of them, to have that decision late in the game, it's bad, because then you have to like start cutting walls, moving wires and doing all kinds of things that who knows what's going to happen. It's possible, but it always messes up. So the point you made is very, right. Very good point. I want to shift gears a little bit. And what I want to ask you is, you guys are doing so many asset classes. So if you could give us an example of, you know, the differences between, meaning the one thing it's clear to me, and you don't have to explain, I think everybody understands the difference between coming early into to a development, like you explained, that's so good. And so that's a necessity versus coming late where you have to maneuver everything. Okay, great. But how different is multifamily than an office building? Let's take these two before we go to hotels, because I'm sure this is a whole different type of a conversation. So let's talk about multifamily building versus an office building. Where you guys, you know, where's the difference in your work when it comes to those things in technology and audio and video?
So in the amenity spaces itself, there tends to be a lot of similarities. You know, we're talking about a gym.
Lobby, gym, yeah.
A pool. Yeah, correct. There are a lot of similarities, not super different. Where it tends to branch off is in the internal spaces itself. So the residential units versus the office spaces. That's where it starts to veer to, you know, to take a shift. The technology that we do in both spaces are very different. And also at that point, the client is different as well. You know, if it's a rental building, you know, rarely, we don't do this very often, but in rental buildings, we've had where the owner decided to put some technology in the rental units. And that at that point, we're speaking directly to the owner of the building. In commercial, less so. They just white box those offices and every tenant comes in and does their own stuff, right? So at that point, you know, being that we're already in the building, we were able to speak directly to the tenant. But in terms of technology, the difference is that's where they start separating. What we may find in a commercial building versus a residential building is that in commercial buildings, you're more likely to see video walls as well. It's a big commercial space. It speaks money, right? You want to attract, you know, that kind of, you know, stock market kind of look. So they would put a big video wall in the lobby or in the hallways just to attract attention for information. In a residential building, that doesn't really speak as much.
Yeah.
Right. You want it more subdued.
Right. So there'll be a lot more work, basically. It sounds from you, a lot more, I would say, a lot more effort from your end and a lot more work, bigger budget also when it comes to an office building, obviously. Because it comes
That's
to
correct,
these,
yeah.
It comes to all these amenities, the videos, the presentation. There's a lot of emphasis on the presentation. And I'm not talking about the single family home of this guy who wants to make like this very fancy, you know, a whole whatever system. Because we're talking about, you know, commercial real estate. So obviously a rental right. would be a lot less, you know, a rental meaning for a multifamily would be a lot less than a, you know, built to suit office type of, you know, a whole presentation. I'm sure also about that. When you come to an office building, and that's already a built office building, old Manhattan, Okay. Manhattan now is in trouble in real estate. We're not going to get into that in this session.
Although it's coming back, I got to tell you.
Yeah. We want to hear about, you know, from your end, that take. But I just want to hear, you come to an old building and you have to maneuver things around and the client has demands. He comes in and says, I'm a law firm. I want to have all these speakers around. I want to have this huge video presentation or an advertising company. And it will be also interesting to hear from you what type of tenant is has the largest need of technology that you guys provide. That would be interesting to hear.
Right. So just for a second, going back to the difference between commercial and residential, in a commercial building, you're attracting money-making companies, right? These are companies that are coming in for the purpose of generating money. And you want them to take as big of a space as possible with the biggest lease for the longest period of time.
Right.
Right. So there's more investment that goes in there because you want to attract top customers that are going to take, you want them to take three floors at a time. Right. In a residential building, you don't have that. It's not a money-making thing. This is the price of the rental. That it is what it is. Right. Or, right. And they're just taking one unit.
Right.
And they're less likely to take three units and combine them. It doesn't happen as often.
Right.
Although we have clients that have done that.
Right.
Right. So automatically the investment in a commercial space, they're going to be less cheap on the commercial, in the commercial building. But moving back to the commercial tenant itself, your question was what kind of clients
we tend to work with. First of all, what would it take if a client demands in an old building, how much trouble you guys have to go through? That's the first question. Let's start with that, and meaning we'll get to the next thing.
Yeah, in an old building, it can be a nightmare, especially like the architecture, right? You're talking about moldings and you know, it tends to get very complicated. Obviously our work becomes more difficult. So our labor becomes more prolonged, but there is an advantage to working in an older building versus a newer building.
What is it?
Or an old space versus a new space. The advantage of a new space, obviously, you know, to wire the place up is very easy, right? You come in within a few days or whatever, however large the project is. It gets wired up and then you come back when it's done. In an older building, obviously you're cutting walls, you're putting conduit, you're drilling through floors. The project is much more complicated. The advantage, however, of working in an older space or in a pre-existing space is that there's no delay between the start date and the end date because you got to come in and finish as fast as possible. You make your holes, you do whatever you need to do. You run your wires, you install your hardware, and now a contractor comes and repairs everything. Right. So the turnover from the beginning of the job to the end of the job is much quicker. So there is an advantage for us in that, obviously we make our money at the end of the project, but there's an advantage to the client also is that there's a much shorter period of time. They have to deal with us. They have to, they decide what they want to spend. It's done. There are no changes in the middle. There's no, okay, now we have to get back to the table because something shifted in the construction. There's less headache for the customer ultimately in that sense.
Right.
I'm not encouraging people to wait till the end once the building's up, but you know, there is an advantage to it.
I wanted to ask you about the tenant. First of all, that was a great answer. And I wouldn't have guessed that an older building would have that type of an advantage, and it's interesting to hear that. What I want to ask you is, and I asked you that beforehand, meaning I bunched it up with a few questions, so I bombarded you. I'm separating them. What type of tenant is most demanding of technologies that would be crazy? Like, for example, a law firm, an advertising firm, an accounting firm. I'm just throwing things, but you probably experienced and saw it all.
The most demanding, I would say, is a company that's dealing with money, like a hedge fund company. Hedge fund. Why is that? Because they tend to have a lot of screens. They want to see the stock market everywhere, right? They want to see all the different funds. So a place like that is going to have video walls everywhere. Right. Especially the new age ones, they want to feel like they're on the stock market floor. They're in the stock exchange, right? So that tends to have a lot of demand. The other area where there's demand is companies that are working with, that are doing a lot of graphic work. Where if you're presenting text, for example, if most of your presentations, let's say, and we're talking conference room, right? If your presentations are mostly text, there'd be one direction you want to take. Obviously, the text has to be clear. If it's unclear, it's unhelpful. But it doesn't have to look pretty in that sense. The goal isn't for the text to be pretty. The goal is for the text to be legible. So it takes a different approach. And obviously, there's a cost impact to that. And you're also, being that it's only text, you're not talking about moving objects, you're not showing video. You know, you have a lot more options in that sense, because the quality of the transmission, the way the video gets transmitted from your source, from your computer, from your iPad, whatever it is you're using to present. I don't want to get too technical here, but if you're using wireless, for example, right? And I'm showing static
allergies. Yeah. Go ahead.
In Israel, allergies?
Yeah. We got that too here. And I came from Brooklyn, so I don't know where I picked it up. Yeah.
Probably here. So, you know, when you're presenting wirelessly, there's an advantage to wireless, obviously, because, you know, it makes it so much easier to connect into your system. You're not fumbling for wires. Are we using the HDMI connection? No way. I have an HDMI mini, you know. So wireless is obviously the most preferred method of connecting. But the problem with that is that now you're dealing with frame rates. If you're showing static image, it's easy to show static images. If you're showing, the quality doesn't have to be perfect, or it doesn't have to be real-time video, you're good. The problem you get into is when you're dealing with graphic designers, you're dealing with advertising companies, people that are creating high-level content, high-definition content, that becomes a different challenge. How do you give them the same options while not impacting the quality of their presentation?
Right.
So there's a different approach there. And obviously, especially in those situations, the sooner we get in on the design, and, you know, when their budget has still not been solidified, the better it is, so that we can put this at the forefront, because their presentations, that's what sells their company. That's what sells their product. If they can't present, you know, how are they going to be able to show their clients what they've produced for them?
Right. Let's shift gears a little bit to healthcare and also hotels. If you could talk about those two asset classes and how different is your work there and what do you guys do there?
So in hotels, obviously, very similar in terms of amenities. Again, you have the bars, you have the restaurants, you might have a pool area, rooftop bar, whatever it is. So a lot of similarities in that sense. What we won't do in a hotel area is put controls in those rooms, right? Guests are not supposed to be playing with any of this.
Right.
There'll be a lot more centralized, managed.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. Talking too much here. That'll be also a different approach. But for the most part, it's in the space is a very similar approach. And I didn't mention lighting control, by the way, which is also a very important part of the technology that we do. It's not just the sound, it's not just the video, it's the lights also create the feel of the space. So in the same touch panel, you know, you can press lunch and the lights will go into a lunch mode, you know, brighter, it's livelier, wow. The music will play more lively sound. You press dinner mode, the lights will automatically dim. We actually recently did a rooftop bar at a hotel where when you press dinner mode, it takes 10 minutes for it to dim.
Beautiful.
So it's not a transitional, you know, you're sitting at the table, you're sitting at the bar, you're enjoying a drink, and all of a sudden the lights change. You know, what just happened here? It happens very gradually.
Your eyes go crazy. Right. That's brilliant.
So, we touched upon hotels, you know, the guest, the public areas, as well as the bars, right? So the bars and the restaurants have unique needs lighting. In terms of lighting control,
yeah.
Correct? So I'll touch on that for a second.
Also, the sound, unless you don't do the sound in bars and stuff.
You know, we absolutely do the sound. So the sound requirements in a bar is also very different, right?
Yeah, much
different
higher.
Type of vibe if that you're
do
doing.
That, yeah.
Correct.
Because I was thinking, I would think that you guys do light, you do everything else, but the sound wise, they'll bring out, they'll bring the sound system from the outside. But if you do that too, that means top notch,
Correct.
Top-notch sound.
So sound, anybody can buy a speaker at Best Buy and install it and hear music. Anybody can do that, right? You can buy a Sonos Play One, put it on the shelf, and it plays music. Great. I walk into restaurants all the time. That's what they're playing. You know, that works for them. That works for them. But as I would stop short and call myself a sound engineer, but a sound aficionado, I've been around sound enough. And I have an ear for it, and I have an understanding for it. I've been around other engineers. I communicate. I speak to a lot of engineers as well. Sound is just like you wouldn't. Let's just put it this way: sound is a very important aspect of a retail space or of any space. And if not done correctly, at first you think it sounds great, but over time, imagine you have somebody behind the bar serving. Right? They're there for 20 minutes. Great. The boss walks in 20 minutes. The place sounds great. It's good. But if they have to be there for 12 hours a day or for 6-hour shifts, however long those shifts are, that sound is going to start giving them a headache. Right? They're not going to know why.
Interesting perspective.
It's like, I don't like this music. Let's change the music. It's not the music necessarily. It's how the music fills the space. It's constantly coming from one direction, or it's too loud here and it's too low here. It's coming from on top, but it messes with your head eventually, and you don't know why.
Right, but at that point, you also have to deal with acoustics, and sometimes not meaning.
We'll get to that in a second. Yeah, absolutely. That's another thing that we do, because and that's a natural progression of if we're doing the speakers and understand doing the speaker layouts and choosing the right speakers, the space has to be conducive for that and not create echo. So it was a natural transition that we also do acoustical treatment.
Yes.
So that's super important, and I can't stress that enough. And if your listeners are your viewers are watching this, a super common conversation that I have with owners and developers, can't I just put one speaker up there and I can hear the music, right? I've had a developer literally put music on his phone, put it in the corner of the room. You see, I can hear it. It's pretty loud. Yes, you can absolutely hear it. But try to listen to music like that for more than an hour.
Yeah.
It's just not going to work. How many times have you been to a restaurant where you're trying to have a nice conversation with the person in front of you and the music is just too loud? You can't hear yourself think. Or the music's coming from one direction. Or it's too low where you can't hear anything. The music has to be adjusted to the crowd in the room.
Right.
And to the type of vibe you're trying to create. And it shouldn't stop people from being able to have a normal conversation.
Exactly. That's what everybody complains about, right? Everybody needs to enjoy it.
The correct.
Person who's dancing and the old grandmother who's sitting at the table saying, the music is too loud. Everybody needs to enjoy it.
Correct.
And it's an art. It's an art. Also, I have a part of me as a musician, meaning so I did music for many years. So I know what it is. A great sound makes a difference. What I want to ask you before we apart, as we call it, healthcare, mm-hmm. Talk to us about healthcare. And healthcare is something that I'm very far away from it today, but I grew up to a family of medical equipment, and my father was a functional designer of hospitals. So he was, meaning I know what it takes, electricity going through the walls, things that are going through that. Talk to us a little bit about that. What is your sound and your part in hospitals or in the healthcare system, where you guys come about, and how is that different than all the others that we spoke about?
So we're relatively new to healthcare, but the way where we stand in healthcare is as follows. So obviously we've come into healthcare from the amenity side. Healthcare, just like any community space, you have community spaces. Right? There's an auditorium, there's a lunchroom or a place where residents gather. Right? So automatically there's a theater-like setup in there. So that's one area. Being that we do public spaces as well, we do auditoriums, especially in healthcare, you have to provide assistive listening systems. So besides just regular speakers in the room for people who can hear properly, we have, you know, headphones and the ability to feed, you know, supportive sound to those that have difficulty hearing. From there, it veered further on. We get involved in the paging system throughout the building, right? Okay. So obviously paging system acts as background music, but then, you know, we're into the paging area as well. From there, we have, you know, every room gets a TV. Those TVs sit on a network. You know, the old fashioned ways of putting a cable box behind every TV, that's out. Just like in hospitality, the guest rooms, you don't have cable boxes in the rooms anymore. It all sits on a network and the channels get disseminated through a regular IT network. We do that for healthcare as well. And then from there, we go into nurse call stations, which is just another technology. Technically, it can be the electrician's responsibility. It can be, you know, the security guy's responsibility.
Interesting.
But it's just another thing, yeah, because it also integrates with the paging system.
So many different things that you guys have to deal with. So many different aspects. It's amazing. And so many, you have to understand your client from so many different angles and such different clients.
Correct.
You're dealing with so many different types of people. Not only people, but companies and corporations, organizations, building structures, and that's fascinating. And today, you are going to join the whole PropTech revolution because probably, you know, the whole thing of, you know, property management systems that is going in very, very, you know, into
Correct.
This thing, and all the technologies that are going into construction, and you guys are going to be probably incorporating into them. Are you already seeing that part?
With property management systems?
Everything, meaning everything that has to be with PropTech, property technology, and integrating what you guys are doing into this whole thing.
So we're already doing that, yeah. So we're already doing that because our AV systems in these buildings integrate with their BMS systems, with the building management system. So either we control, let's say, the HVAC in those particular rooms, and obviously lighting as well, or vice versa. The building manager, they decide to operate from the BMS system. They want to control, you know, the climate and the lighting throughout the building. They can also control those AV spaces as well. And then we go into another level where we're doing room scheduling, for example. So a tenant, this is starting to get very common where they have management software that also has apps. So a tenant has a request. They, you know, there's a leak in the apartment. They go to their app and they make that request.
100%.
Right. The same app tells them, oh, you have a package waiting at the in the mailroom, right? And that's a separate system that, you know, building managements, they tend to have their systems that they like, and they work directly with the companies that provide those. But what we tend to do is now integrate with that as well. So from a tenant's perspective, they say, oh, we want to use the screening room, on Thursday, we want to host a party, you know, we're having a birthday party. We want to reserve the screening room for that. Go into the app. Reserve the screening room, right? Some companies actually charge a fee for the amenities, right? The tenant either has the option to pay for it or doesn't have the option to pay for it. They have to pay for it. But whatever the case is, that's another layer where, this tenant has access to the space, that tenant doesn't. And all that integrates, right?
So interesting. There's a company that right now, you're talking about this, the company that I'm involved with now. And that company does that, and that's exactly what you described. That's exactly what they do. They integrate other technologies into their big, large, I would say, operating system of the building.
Right.
And exactly what you described, that people can go on their app and say, I will need this, whatever room, pool, this, that, and all those technologies integrate into that. So that's very cool. So
right. And the idea is to simplify it for management. They have so many things they have to think about and worry about.
Yeah.
This is one less thing they have to worry about.
Right. That's an amazing thing.
So,
we spoke about so many things. And one thing, before we, I would say, close the discussion, what I want to ask you is the market. You guys, especially in the tri-state area, that's where you are. That's where you live. That's where you operate. What do you feel, COVID, post-COVID, where's the market going? How do you guys see it? How did it affect you in the beginning and post?
So I got to say, so obviously when COVID first started, we shut down, just like a lot of other companies.
Yep.
For 3 months, 4 months, we were frozen. But there is an upside to this, to all this now. First of all, it allowed us to shift gears. It gave us time to think. I'm not going to use the word pivot because everybody's using it and it means a lot of things to a lot of people.
Overused.
We didn't necessarily pivot. Right. We've rethought how we operate and we've rethought about the markets that we're after. We've been running the company for 12 years. Well, then it was just 11 years, just about 11 years, right?
Right.
And, you know, you're busy every single day. You're trying to grow a company. It's hard. You never really get a break where you can sit down and say, okay, what am I doing here? Let's rethink this whole thing. This is a blessing that we got to, you know, we were given a break. Guys, you don't have to work right now, right? So a lot of people stressed out because of that, which as did I. But in hindsight, that was good. So we used that time.
Look the bright side of the aspect, the good aspect of it, obviously, the positive side.
Correct. Yeah. And so we got to not necessarily shift gears, but understand, take time to research our market, research our clients, research the technologies, research which clients will prefer which technologies. We've done a lot of thinking, which was great. Then when things started opening back up, and construction in New York City didn't really shut down, right? So the downtime for us was, you know, considerably less than anywhere else in the country. I feel the way what's happening now to us is similar to what happened in 2008 and 2009. So I started the company in 2009 as the economy was going back up. So I rode that wave, right? You know, much less expenses. I had almost no expenses, right? My overhead was nothing. I was able to charge very competitive prices and I rode that wave to the top.
Right.
We're seeing that now again. So I was able to restart in a way, right? Shifted how we operated internally. And then now we're seeing that same ride. So this is positive for us.
Sounds good. Sounds positive, yeah. As you call it. It sounds
absolutely.
Listen, we're going to close. It's been very, very interesting, very interesting. And also refreshing because we talk a lot about the markets and real estate and where it's going and this and that. And to talk about someone who is actually servicing all those, you know, the people who do real estate, the people who build, the people who own, the people who even lease, it's something exciting. And to see what consists into sound and video and what type of work and what type of thought. And people many times say, okay, let's have a screen here. And they don't realize that there's a whole thought process, you know, behind it, around it, that has to be done. It's not that simple. And you need professionals. You need professionals. And I really thank you for being here with us. And
you
guys that are listening, you can find all the links above and below and everywhere you want. In order to be able to contact Aaron and his company and what they do and to get their service. Allianz Systems, guys, anything that you need in order to get your audio, in anything you need in order to get your video straight, in order to get your conference room straight, in order to get your event space straight in terms of lighting, everything that you learned today that is so valuable. And it's so such a necessity, and you put it aside, and then you have to wake up one day and say, oh my gosh, this doesn't work well. And why are the guests, even though I had this beautiful structure, why are the guests not happy with a certain thing? You need Aaron, and you need his talent, and you need his crew. So that's very interesting. Thank you so much for being with us. You guys, check the links below. Check everything about it. And if you're a beginner, don't forget to check out all the courses, to check out the 7-day challenge that I give, to check out the free cheat sheet that I give for the 6 secrets of commercial real estate. If you want to get into real estate, you guys, I'll see you in the next show. Take care.
I wanted to, can I interject for a second?
Yeah, for sure.
I want to mention the only thing, the reason why I'm able to succeed at what I do is because of the team behind me. You know, I'm pretty good at what I do, but every single one of my team members, everybody brings something to the table. We have a bunch of smart, capable people, and everybody has the same desire to put out an amazing product. You know, everybody's motivated to do that, and you'll feel that energy throughout anybody that works with us. You know, starting from me, if I'm your first point of contact, to when you're dealing with the pre-sales engineer or the project manager or the on-site engineer, the technicians on-site, everybody has the same attitude, and we pride ourselves with that. And our hiring process is very rigid because of that, because that core value, you know, the customer gets that same experience no matter who they're speaking to in our company. And that's been, beautiful. You know, the reason for our success.
The beautiful. Everything is about the team. Everything is about the team. How many
Absolutely.
Times have you said it? How many times? Aaron, thank you so much.
All right. You're welcome.
Stick around. I'm
thank
just
you.
Going to say goodbye again. You guys, I'll see you in the next show. Hey guys, thanks for joining me in this CRE Shark Eye show. I hope you enjoyed it. And go subscribe, download, do whatever you guys need to do. And I'll see you in the next episode. Take care of yourselves.